Welcome to Beyond Leading, the podcast that cuts through the noise to get real about leadership, team dynamics, personal growth, and the messy, brilliant reality of work, life, and everything in between. Each episode brings grounded insights, sharp truths, and honest conversations with experienced leaders and coaches as we explore what it really takes to lead well today. We don't deal in one-size-fits-all answers. We spark ideas, offer grounded perspectives, and create space for you to work out what fits your world. So let's get into it. Welcome to episode 20 of Beyond Leading, and I'm genuinely pleased to be saying that. When we launched the podcast back in December, I was not completely sure how it would develop. And honestly, I did not know whether we'd still be here 20 episodes later. From the beginning, the idea behind Beyond Leading was quite simple. We wanted to have honest conversations about what it really feels like to lead. Not just the theory, the leadership models, or the polished version people often see from the outside. We wanted to talk about the reality behind the title and the position. Looking back across the first 19 episodes has reinforced that this has been at the heart of the podcast from the start. It is really about what it feels like when you're the person expected to make the decision, provide the answer, steady everyone else, and somehow keep yourself going at the same time. It is about the pressure, the questions you ask yourself, the loneliness that can come with responsibility, and the decisions where there is no perfect or obvious answer. And reviewing those 19 conversations has shown me just how often we have come back to those same themes. So this episode is a chance to stop for a moment and look at what we have built, the questions that kept coming up, the challenges we set, and what hosting these conversations has changed or perhaps reinforced for me. When I went back through the episodes, one thing stood out quite quickly. We seem to have keep coming back to the same ground. My first reaction was, have we spent 19 episodes repeating ourselves? But the more I looked at it, the more I realised that that's not what happened at all. We have spoken to professionals from aerospace, debt recovery, property, dance, coaching, and the boardroom, as well as a man who cooks on mountaintops. They have come from very different worlds and brought very different experiences. But underneath those conversations, the same questions kept cropping up, whoever was sitting opposite us, and whatever we thought the main subject was going to be. I do not think that is repetition. I think that is leadership. And these are the questions that keep coming back when you're responsible for people, decisions, and results, whether you're running a major aerospace program or building a two-person debt recovery business. Five questions came up more than any others. So let's look at them one at a time. Let's start with question one. Do you actually know yourself? This question sat underneath almost everything we discussed. It was obviously there when we talked about identity and values, but it also came through in conversations about emotional intelligence, relevance, saboteurs, and somatic leadership. When Ellen Putz joined us to talk about teams, she put it very simply, it always begins with personal leadership. You cannot change other people, but you do have to start with yourself. Research cited by Belbin suggests that only around 15% of us are genuinely self-aware. Now that is quite a sobering figure when you think about how much leadership depends upon understanding ourselves and recognizing the effect we have on people around us. Tiffany Bernard shared a story early in our episodes that has stayed with me. During our coach training years ago, she was asked what sounded like a very straightforward question. And that question was, who are you? But it made her angry, really angry. The reason, as she later admitted, was that she did not know how to answer it. Much of her life had been shaped by what other people expected from her, and she never really stopped to ask herself who she was or what she wanted. Tiffany is now one of the most self-aware people I know, but even she had to be caught off guard before she properly faced that question. And I think the higher you go, the easier it can become to lose sight of it. Why? Because you have more people looking to you, more decisions to make, and more resting on your judgment. There is always something urgent and always somebody waiting for an answer. You can become very good at answering everyone else's questions, but meanwhile, you quietly stop asking your own. And before you know it, reflection has been squeezed out by the diary. So question one is simple, but it's not necessarily easy. Do you actually know yourself? Because so much of how you lead rests on the answer. So on to question two, why does perfect keep beating done? If there has been one recurring villain across the first 6 months of Beyond Leading, it has probably been perfectionism. It has turned up in all sorts of places, although it has not always looked like perfectionism at first. Sometimes it looks like procrastination. That is not always laziness. Often it is us avoiding the discomfort we have attached to starting something. Sometimes it looks like soft burnout. You're still turning up, still doing the work, and still telling everyone you are fine, while underneath you feel completely drained. Tiffany described it as dragging your body through treacle, which I think captures it perfectly. And sometimes perfectionism disguises itself as patience. We tell ourselves that we are waiting for the right moment, the right conditions, or a little more certainty. But then we look up and we realise the moment has gone. But what struck me was how often our guests came back to essentially the same answer. Make it smaller. Take the first step, then work out the next one. Harrison Ward, our first guest, demonstrated that more powerfully than most. He went from drinking 20 pints a day to being 9 years sober. But that did not begin with some beautifully prepared transformation plan. It began with a friend, a pair of walking boots bought that morning, and a mountain that Harrison had absolutely no business climbing 2 weeks into sobriety. He just had to put one foot in front of the other. He had to get through the day. He had to be a little better than yesterday. Then get up and do it again. The phrase, done beats perfect, must have come up in 5 different episodes. Perhaps that is because most of us already know it. We just do not always live by it. Question 3. Are you running on empty? This one is personal for me, and regular listeners will probably know why. Earlier this year, I talked about being forced to stop. It was not a planned break or a sensible decision to slow things down. It was more a case of my body and my head eventually saying, that's enough. What surprised me was what happened afterwards. Once I had stopped, some of the clarity began to return, and so did the motivation I thought I had lost. It also led me to ask a question in the Aftershock episode that seemed to resonate with many of you. Are your people tired or are they thinning? There is a difference. People who are tired can rest and recover, but thinning is more gradual. It is what happens when somebody keeps turning up and keeps performing, but there is slowly less and less of them available. Their energy starts to go. Their confidence is worn away. Their judgment becomes less reliable. And because they are still at work and still getting things done, it can be very easy to miss. Rich Carter spoke about this in episode 15. He's a self-confessed workaholic, but he was very clear that you have to look after yourself, because if you do not, you are eventually no use to your team. And that is why I do not see energy as a soft stuff. It affects how well you lead. When the tank is empty, you do not think as clearly. Your patience becomes shorter. Your decisions can become poorer, and it becomes much harder to build trust with the people around you. The difficulty is that none of this will necessarily show up on a dashboard until some of the damage has already been done. And this is not only a personal issue, it's an organisational one too. The senior leaders, boards and executive teams I work with do not always talk openly about energy, exhaustion or the pressure they are carrying. In some organizations, the culture almost tells people that they should simply keep going and not mention it. But that is exactly why we need to talk about it. And that leads us to question four. Who actually trusts you? Episode 18 said it in the title. It all starts with trust. Without trust, you do not really have a team. You just have a group of people working alongside one another. Trust has been running through our conversations long before we reached episode 18. We returned more than once to the finding that people need hope from their leaders. Rich Carter even banned the word I in his company. In episode 8, Lizzie Cousins and Chelsea Dickinson talked about building their businesses around never overpromising. Then in episode 12, Gemma Dore explained how she had built credibility by offering a clear and consistent view over 5 years. None of them described trust as something that came from one big speech or dramatic gesture. It was built slowly, through honesty, consistency, and doing what you said you would do. Vulnerability also kept coming up. Some leaders still worry that saying, I don't know, will make them look weak. But a leader who is willing to say, I don't know, what do you think, can often build more trust than somebody who feels they have to pretend they have every answer. So our last question, question five. Do you want change or do you want to change? This is the question that connects the first 19 episodes, and I genuinely did not spot the connection until I went back through them. Our first guest and one of our most recent guests reached almost exactly the same conclusion, despite coming at it from completely different directions. When Harrison Ward talked about addiction and recovery, he said there was a world of difference between wanting change and wanting to change. He said you can desperately want your life or your circumstances to be different, but that does not necessarily mean you are ready to do something differently yourself. Harrison also explained that you cannot force that readiness on somebody else, not through ultimatums, love, or logic. Sometimes all you can do is live through it until you are ready to change. In episode 19, Graham DaCosta entered very similar territory while talking about corporate change programs, addiction psychology, and the work of Stephen Rolnick. Graham's point was that you cannot sell a solution to somebody who does not believe they have a problem. And in his experience, that is where many change programs fail. Not necessarily because the strategy is poor or the communications plan is wrong, but because the people involved have not yet accepted that something needs to change. So one man learned through addiction and recovery. The other learned it through decades of working in and around boardrooms. But they arrived at the same truth. People can want a different outcome without being ready to behave differently. Knowing is not doing. Readiness is the bit in between. And that brings me to what these conversations have meant for me. I started Beyond Leading because I wanted to create useful and honest conversations that supported other people. I did not want it to be a podcast where we handed out universal answers or told listeners exactly how they should lead. The aim was to share experiences, perspectives, and questions that might make somebody stop, think, and perhaps make a better decision in their own world. The clearest example has been the link between physical energy and leadership. I've had a lower back issue for some time, and it eventually pushed me to become much more consistent with exercise. The difference has been noticeable. My back is better, my energy is different, and my thinking feels clearer. When Lucy Nicholson in episode 17 said that the body is a resource most leaders have never learned to use, it landed with me because I could see the truth of it in my own experience. The conversations on Beyond Leading have reinforced something that is very easy to forget when work becomes busy. Knowing that something matters is not always enough to make it a priority. The same is true of reflection. As an executive coach and non-exec director, I spend a great deal of time creating space for other people to think. Hosting these conversations has reminded me that I also need to protect that space for myself. That is not because I never reflect. It's because, like everyone else, I can still allow the urgent to crowd out the important unless I deliberately make room for it. And perhaps that is one of the strongest lessons I've taken from the first 6 months. Leadership development is not about reaching a point where you have somehow solved yourself. I'm not sure anybody ever does. But what I believe, it's about noticing things sooner, asking yourself better questions, and being willing to adjust when something isn't working. And that applies to the people I coach. It applies to the leaders who join as guests, and it applies to me. Looking back has also shown me how much we have not yet explored. We have not properly talked about conflict, letting somebody go, or rebuilding trust once it's been broken. There is much more to discuss around boardroom politics, governance, accountability, and what happens when good intentions are no longer enough. So, 19 episodes in, the list of things worth talking about has become longer, not shorter. So what comes next for Beyond Leading? Well, you'll be hearing more solo episodes from me. These will be shorter, more focused conversations about what I'm seeing in leadership, teams, and businesses right now. That is not because we've run out of guests. It is because there are things I'm noticing in my work that I believe are worth talking about. And I do not always want to wait for the perfect guest or the perfect moment before discussing them. The areas I've just mentioned, conflict, governance, accountability, and the reality of leading at board level will naturally become part of those conversations. Then there is our next guest for episode 21. We've spent the last few months talking about self-awareness, energy, and readiness. So I've found somebody who's going to test quite a lot of what we've said. He works in one of the most demanding environments there is, the health sector. He has watched high achievers ignore many of the warning signs we have discussed, and he's going to challenge whether some of what organisations call well-being is simply a story we've all agreed to tell ourselves. It is a two-part conversation, and I think it may be one of the most challenging discussions we've had so far. So 20 episodes have brought us to 5 questions and 1 challenge. But do not choose 5 things. Do not create a completely new plan, and do not buy another notebook just to fill it in with good intentions. Pick one thing from our first 19 episodes that made you think, that's me. And then ask yourself, did I actually do anything about it? If you did, I would genuinely like to hear what changed. So find me on LinkedIn, connect and tell me. And if you did not, do not simply beat yourself up about it. Ask yourself a better question. What would need to change for me to be ready? Because most of the time, the problem is not that we have no idea what to do. We probably already know enough to take the first step. But the question is whether we are ready to take it. So choose one thing. And this time, do not just agree with it. Do something with it. Because leadership does not change simply because an idea sounds right. It changes when something we do changes. Until next time. Thank you for listening to Beyond Leading. If this episode was useful, follow or subscribe so you don't miss the next one, and share it with someone who'd appreciate it. And if you've got a minute, a quick rating or review really helps more people find the show.